Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good for you to see me. I guess that's what we should say this morning. I tell you, I am not used yet to this, what I'm calling a scattered gathering. We are gathering together under the name of our Lord Jesus, but man, we are in different places. And I just got to tell you, I'm not excited about it, if I can be real honest. Thank you. But it is what it is, right? Before we kind of get going this week, I just want to kind of share with you from last week, man, I was just blown away at just the engagement that we had over this live stream. Guys, we had 1,200 views on our Facebook Live, and I just praise God for that, not for the sake of Pioneer Church, but just because I believe that Jesus was exalted in our time together last week. And I just am thankful. And I just pray that, man, we double that this week just so that that many more people can hear the life-changing message of Jesus. But I got to say, I miss you guys. I've always been kind of a people person, but I've been okay with my space and my alone time. But I tell you what, I miss seeing your face. I miss hearing about your week. I miss hearing you lift up Jesus in worship together. I just miss you. And so just hear that. And I cannot wait to be back with you again very soon. Man, Palm Sunday is next week. And man, I'm telling you, for a preacher, I don't know, man. I've never experienced Easter at home. And so we're going to continue to do this live stream for the next few weeks, foreseeable future. And so anyway, I just want you to kind of, try to stay as engaged as possible with us as we, work through this time of, transition and uncertainty. I want to kind of take you on a little bit of a journey this morning, as we, get into our message. You can see the title of my message today is The Hard Work of Resting. I know that sounds kind of paradoxical, and it kind of is, but I think that you are going to understand where that title came from as we look into God's Word. But I just want to take you on a little bit of a journey of how I came upon this message. I think it's a true statement that the best sermons are lived before they're preached. And God kind of turned me into a living, breathing object lesson this week. And I have to humbly share some things with you about this journey of getting to this message today. God has done this several times in my life of making me live a sermon before I preach it. And I got to be honest with you, it's very frustrating sometimes. It doesn't feel well. It's very exhausting emotionally to have God kind of take you on this journey of wanting to teach you something before you can teach it to somebody else. And so kind of here's what happened with me. Last week I gave us a challenge in our message of taking this time of divine interruption and trying to seek God and allow him to search your heart to spend a little bit more intentional time with him. And so I took my own challenge. And so Monday, I usually try to take Monday off as my Sabbath. And so Monday I got alone with the Lord, my Bible and a notebook. And I just kind of began to seek the Lord, and he led me to Psalm chapter 46. And it's a very beautiful psalm of God's power and protection in our life in these seasons of uncertainty. The sons of Korah, who wrote that psalm, they actually start the psalm by saying, our God is a very present help in times of trouble, right? And so I think that's very fitting for where we are today. And so I kind of found that part of the psalm very encouraging. But then I came to the end of the psalm. And the end of the psalm, verse 10, I want to share with you, says this. The psalmist says, be still and know that I am God, right? You've probably read this before. You've probably got it on a t-shirt or a coffee mug somewhere or hanging in your house somewhere. It's a very encouraging verse. And so God just kind of had me park there for just a little bit in my time on Monday. And what usually would bring me great comfort in this verse, God brought a lot of conviction to me. As I studied out this passage, this phrase, be still, exposed some really big issues in my heart, if I can be honest with you. Things that I didn't really know that were in there, but that God wanted to expose. And so as God searched my heart, he began showing me a couple things. One, I'm very self-reliant. Like, there's not a lot of things that I will ask help for, and that's to a fault sometimes. My wife is watching that today, and she knows how much I struggle with asking for help. And so I'm very self-reliant, and I'm also very impatient. So what that means is that's a recipe for if I have a problem, I go to work at trying to find the answer, to figure it out. If I'm having an issue, I don't strive with it very long. I'm going to find the problem, research it, find a solution, and I'm going to fix it. So I'm a fixer, okay? I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but over the past several weeks, my life, just like everyone else's, has been bombarded with a lot of issues, right? A lot of uncertainties. My normal routines, as we talked about last week, have been disrupted. There have been difficulties that have come out of all this stuff that's going on in our country. And with that has come this lingering burden of uncertainty over me. There are problems in my life right now that I cannot fix immediately. And boy, I'm frustrated. I am anxious. There's a lot of things caused by this virus that is causing just the world to kind of shut down. And so for me, Pioneer Church has been one of these things that has become very frustrating to me. Leading a church that can't meet, casting vision for a church that can't live out the vision together has become something that's very frustrating. And I felt just kind of stuck in this season, if I can be just honest with you. And so as I turned to God's word on Monday, I was looking for answers, right? I was looking for God to show me how to move past these problems and fix the issue. But rather, God saw fit to lead me to a passage that didn't teach me how to fix anything. Rather, he was calling me in my issues and in my frustration to be still. It's very interesting that that Hebrew phrase for be still in Psalm 46 actually literally means to be limp. It means to give up control. It's kind of like become dead weight to God. Don't try to squirm. I don't know if you've ever taken lifeguard courses or anything, but if you've ever had experience with that, you know the hardest person to rescue is someone who is struggling with you. It's a lot easier to rescue someone who is unconscious or is calm than someone who is trying to fight with you, because they end up fighting against you. And so God was teaching me this message this week. He was saying, TJ, you've got to stop being anxious. You've got to stop grasping for control. You've got to be still. You've got to be dead weight in my hands. And I got to be honest with you. I didn't like that. I've struggled all week with giving up control. And lately, I just kind of feel this constant tension between my responsibilities as a Christian, as a pastor, and God's leading, right? There's this tension between my timetable and God's. There's this tension between my plans and his will. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody but myself this morning, but that's where I'm at today. And I'm feeling at odds with God a little bit in some of this stuff. Because here's the deal. I have plans for Pioneer Church, right? God's given me this vision. This spring was going to be this huge time for us to begin inviting. We're supposed to be in the middle of a series right now called You're Invited, which was our push up to Easter to try to get people to come and be involved and hear the gospel through Pioneer Church. Man, I had a goal set for Pioneer Church that on Easter Sunday we were going to gather at Huntsville Elementary School. We were going to put 150 people in that cafeteria and worship Jesus. And we're going to be in living rooms on Easter. And so you can imagine the struggle that's going on in my heart today. The grasping for control when I really have no control at all. And so on Monday, with that frustration and anxiety, came this kind of heavy feeling of exhaustion. This week I felt like I've been running in knee-deep mud. And I don't really know where to go, and I don't really know what to do, and I don't know how to not fight and how to not struggle. And so that's where I was on Monday. And so throughout the whole week, I've had God speak to me saying, I want you to be still, TJ. I want you to be still in your heart and know that I am God. And my response to him all week has been, no. I'm not going to be still. I've got work to do. There's something else I can work on. There's something else I can do. There's got to be some creative way to bypass the regulations and the rules. There's got to be some way for Pioneer Church to continue to meet. I can't just stop and do nothing. And so here's what God does in his great love. He said, okay, buddy, we'll play your game for a while. So from Monday to Thursday, TJ sat down and tried to write a sermon and would hit a wall. TJ would bow his head and pray his will, and it felt like his prayers weren't getting past the ceiling. It's funny, this is actually the third message I wrote this week. And the reason for that is because I would get about three quarters of the way through a sermon and God would say, that's not what I want you to say. And I was pushing, man, pushing on through. But there's something that you have to have as a pastor in order for a sermon to be effective. And it's the power of God. And so all I had was a bunch of words until Thursday. So Thursday morning, I got up and I was very dejected. I was struggling. And I got up very early before daylight. And we have a farm. And so I just went out walking on the farm in the quiet and was listening to creation kind of wake up. And I just was praying, God, I need you to come through for me. I need you to come through for me. And it really felt like my prayers weren't getting past my head. And so I remember I was walking around our pond and I stopped in the middle of the road. And here's what I said. God, I give up. I give up. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know if you've ever prayed that. You probably haven't. You guys are some spiritual people, so you've probably never had to pray that. But I pray, God, I don't know what to do. I feel like everything you've called me to is at a standstill. And I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know who you want me to be in this time of waiting and in this time of uncertainty. But here's what I do know, God. I cannot fix what's going on. And so here I am. Whatever you want to say to me, say to me. And folks, it was like the biggest light bulb I've ever seen went off in my mind. And God said, boy, you are finally hearing me. He said, I told you on Monday, I want you to be still. I want you to know that I'm God. And so here I am today as your pastor, as a fellow brother in Christ, doing what he's told me to do. Be still. And today I want to preach to you what it means for us to be still and what it means to lead us into the rest that we're needing. But to find that rest, it takes a lot of hard work. It was four hard days for me this week of coming to the place of rest. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 11. If you have your handout, many of you have reached out and got the handout. Thank you for that. I pray that it's beneficial for you. But if you'll look at your handout and in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at an invitation that Jesus gives us, a very popular invitation to come and rest. And so here's what I want to ask you, and you can't respond, of course. Tyler and Kate maybe can, but they won't, but that's okay. When we look at this invitation and we see Jesus say to us, "Come, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I'd be willing to bet all the money I've got in the bank that your heart screams, "Yes, I want that," right? What Jesus offers us in that moment is exactly what our heart craves. But the problem is, we don't really know how to receive that invitation sometimes. We don't know how to just accept what he's offering. We feel like there's something we've got to do to try to kind of earn that rest. And so ultimately, we end up hindering ourselves from finding this rest that he is so freely offering. Another reason why we may struggle with this invitation is because we don't really correctly apply what he's saying here in this text. A lot of us have kind of isolated this passage where Jesus gives us this invitation, and we fail to go back and look at the context of the passage, which explains why he's able to offer us this kind of rest. And so let me take you through the passage real quickly of what's being discussed here. Matthew chapter 11. The first thing that we see is these messengers come from John the Baptist. If you know anything about the Bible, you know John the Baptist was a prophet who preceded Christ, who paved the way for the coming Messiah. And his ministry was incredibly important. Jesus said that there was no one greater born of women than John the Baptist, right? And so John is in prison at this moment, and he's really questioning some things. He's questioning, is Jesus who he says he is, right? Not only that, but you've got Pharisees who didn't believe John's message, who are now kind of gloating because John has been arrested. You see, what we have here is John's disciples coming and saying, "Jesus, are you really the one, or do we need to go look for somebody else?" What we read in that is John is feeling like his ministry has kind of been a failure. That everything that he thought God wanted him to do, he had failed at. Because now he's in a prison, and as we know, he never makes it out of that prison. And so we see John in his ministry and his work seemingly, or he feels like is a failure. And then Jesus switches gears in verse 20. And he stops talking about John, and then he moves into his ministry. And in verse 20, he starts to denounce these cities that he's traveled through and he's preached the gospel to them. And they failed to repent. And so what he does is he basically is denouncing them. He's kind of cursing them because they did not believe the gospel. Now, let me kind of pause here just for a second, because I need you to kind of understand this principle before we go forward. What was Jesus's primary purpose for his ministry on earth before going to the cross? Okay, so we know he came to die for our sins, but before he went to the cross, he had a primary purpose in his ministry. I'll tell you what it is. Luke 19 tells us, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost," right? So Jesus's purpose in traveling around to all these cities was to seek, to find out those who were lost, and to save them, right? That's his purpose. Now, Jesus, as being the perfect Son of God, we would think, would fully and completely carry that out with no problem, right? That's what we would think. But here in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is saying that there were people, there were cities that he traveled to, that he preached the gospel, that he'd done miracles in, who did not receive salvation. And so here's the question. Not only is John's ministry being called into question as being a failure, but one might could say right here, Jesus' work was a failure. If he came to seek and save the lost, yet these people didn't get saved, did he fail in his mission? Well, we would know today on the other side of it, of course, Jesus didn't fail in that mission. But then it raises another question. What then was the purpose of this ministry? What was the purpose of Jesus going into these cities, preaching the gospel, and then them not repenting? You see, you and I have to understand this in order for us to understand the rest that he's bringing to us. So let's pick up in verse 25 and get to the point of this passage. Now, the Word of God says, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. It's kind of confusing things here Jesus is saying. He's responding to the critics, right, by saying these folks refused to repent, but it actually was a part of my greater plan. You see, Jesus didn't say, man, we need to go back. We need to re-preach the gospel. I've really messed up. They obviously didn't hear me. My plan is to seek and save the lost, and they're not saved, so we need to go back and redo some things. Jesus didn't say that, right? Rather, Jesus says, Father, I thank you. He's thanking God that God withheld salvation or the gospel from these people and then extended it to those who were of childlike faith. You see, Jesus knew that God had a plan for his earthly ministry, and it doesn't make sense to us, right? Although to us it doesn't look like he accomplished his mission, Jesus knew that God had a greater and wiser plan that Jesus didn't fight against, right? Instead, he carried it out. And so here's a question before we get into our first point. I wonder how many of us this morning are dealing with unfulfilled plans in our life. We had goals. We had expectations. We had dreams. And for whatever reason, they haven't gone the way we thought they would go, right? And so my question is, what's your response to that? How are you responding to a God who has seemingly not come through or who has not helped you in this? My response this week was frustration, was anger, was bitter, or getting there, because I didn't understand why God just wouldn't get on my boat and let's go and fulfill my plans. But here's my question. Are you taking the approach that Jesus took here? Or are you resolving just pull your boots up and keep pushing through because you are going to accomplish your plans? Can I tell you something? That's going to be a very frustrating journey for you. And there is no rest in that. But we find rest in this. And here's the first point. We got to first realize that my plans may not be God's plans. My plans may not be God's plans. Jesus tells us in verse 26 that the city's rejection of his message actually was a part of God's gracious will. Now, we're not going to dive into the theological doctrine of why that is this morning, but I want you to understand that God had his reasons for these cities rejecting Jesus' message. And it doesn't make sense to us, right? But we have to trust that our God has a plan. Matt Chandler, who is a guy that I listen to and think a lot of, says this. He says, God is so much more interested in declaring than explaining. And so think about that. God doesn't owe us an explanation of anything, but he does give us these declarations. And so the question is, do we get caught up on the lack of explanation instead of listening to what he's leading us to do? In order for us to find rest in God's change of plans, we've got to commit to not fight him on it. And we need to relax, which I know is difficult, but we need to relax. The prophet Isaiah gives us kind of a depiction of what it looks like to kind of rest and relax and why we can rest and relax in God's plans over our own, especially when they're not the same. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That passage tells us two things I want you to look at. One, my plans usually aren't God's plans because I don't think the way God thinks. I don't see the whole picture. And so what I think is best, ultimately down the road, may not work out for the best. But God sees it all, right? He's present, past, present, and future. And so he knows all things. And so his plans don't look like mine because he sees the big picture. The second thing of that passage is this. God's ways are always going to be better than mine. Church, let me be real honest with you. If God is not on your plan right now, and if he's kind of thwarting and messing up your plans, it is not because he's trying to shortchange you. It's not because he has something less for you. It's because there's something better. We have a good God who wants good things for his people. And so, folks, he's not trying to undo your plans to be mean. He's got something better. The question is, do you believe that? Do you trust that? Going back to my story from this week, I don't know what God's plans are in this coronavirus stuff, man. I don't know exactly what he's trying to accomplish, what he's trying to communicate. I don't know what that means for our church. I don't know what he's trying to do in Pioneer Church by putting us in this standstill right now, right? It's certainly not what I planned. God very rarely does things the way I would do them. But I'm learning, I'm comfortable in that. And I'm thankful that he doesn't do things the way I do them. And so here's the question this morning. Do you believe that same truth about your plans? Do you believe that your unmet expectations, your goals that you're not meeting right now, do you believe that God is at work in a better plan? I pray that you will, because there's rest in believing that. Now, realizing our plans may not be God's plan is one thing, but there's a next step that we have to come to in order to find this rest, and it's found in the next passage, the next verse, verse 27. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, you need to follow with me here because it kind of gets a little confusing. Jesus is saying that the reason these people didn't repent in these cities wasn't just because God didn't allow them to, because he had a different plan. But now he's saying, I have authority over these people. And so what he's saying is, I can go into these cities and tell them all to repent, and they will, because I am sovereign over my creation. However, that's not what took place. And so we must believe that in his sovereignty, that he has this authority to do what he wishes. And so we have to kind of get off the throne of our life when it comes to this. We have to be willing to say, I don't know all the answers. I can't see the whole picture. And so here's what we have to do. Here's the next part. I have to relinquish my striving to the sovereignty of God. So understanding my plans may not be God's plan is one thing, but we have to make the choice to give up that plan that may not be working out in order for God's sovereign plan to take over. And so here's what this means. At any moment, according to the authority and wisdom of God, he can enter into your life and turn your world completely upside down. He has the right to do so. He has the authority to do so. But he also has the reason to do so. Now, that reason a lot of times comes a little bit later. And so what we do is when we don't understand the reason is we begin to push against God, right? We begin to fight him on that. We begin to say, God, you don't know what you're talking about, like I did this week, right? God, I don't want to rest. I want to do something. And so if we're not careful, we can kind of keep pushing our agenda on God. And what we'll find is that we won't get anywhere at all. And we will be restless and exhausted. And so if we're going to find rest, we've got to give up our striving. We've got to stop when Jesus says stop. And know that he is sovereign over those things. And this point is proven in the life of the Apostle Paul. I want to kind of quickly share this example with you. If you look in the book of Acts, Jesus plants his church with his disciples, and he goes back to the Father, and within just a couple of weeks, man, they've got over 3,000 people in the church. The church is exploding. The gospel's going forward. And then a man named Saul rises onto the scene. And we see that Saul is a man who is dead set on ruining the church. Because Saul was a Jew, and the Christian faith was working against his faith. And so his plan, Saul's plan, was to destroy the church. And he was having some success at it, right? In Acts chapter 8, we see that he held the coat of those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr, right? In Acts chapter 9, we see this man Saul on his way to Damascus. And the reason for going to Damascus is because he was getting ready to arrest a bunch of Christians, throw them in jail where they too would be killed. That was Saul's plan for his life, okay? But here's what happened. If you know the story, on the road to Damascus, Saul came face to face with the sovereign king of the universe. And in that moment, that sovereign king changed Saul's plans completely. And listen to how Paul retells this story in Acts 26:14. He says, "And we all fell down when Jesus came. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.'" Like, do you get that this morning? Saul had a plan to destroy Christianity. God had a better plan. And so through a set of divine interactions, God took Saul, changed his life. Saul relinquished his plans to the sovereignty of God. And I bet you if you were to ask Paul today, "Paul, are you glad that God came and intervened and stopped your plans?" I promise you he would say, without a doubt, no question. But Paul had to submit to that sovereign plan. And so here's what I pray for you guys and what I've been praying this week that you get this morning. For some of us in here or listening, there is only one thing standing between you and God's amazing purpose for your life. And here's what it is. It's you. You are the one who has it all figured out. You are the one that knows exactly what needs to happen. But God loves you enough to come in and completely interrupt your life, to get you to submit to his plan for your life. And so the question is, are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to trust that God is greater than you? He's wiser than you. He knows more than you do, and you believe him, and you trust him, and you're willing to lay your stuff down so that you can fulfill his purpose for your life. Folks, it's a very exhausting life trying to fight and work against a God who is sovereign over everything. Just stop. Jesus said, "I have authority to do whatever I want to do, and I will reveal the gospel to whomever I choose." And so we have to trust that sovereignty in this passage. And so when we've done those two things, now we're ready to finally get to the third part, and here's where it is. After we have realized our plans may not be God's plans, and we have relinquished that fight over to his sovereignty, then we are now ready to receive Jesus' invitation to come and rest. But there's a reason why this is in the order that it's in. You have to get out of the way. There's only room enough on the throne of your heart for one person. And if it's you, you will never be at rest. Your heart was made, the throne of your heart was made for King Jesus. And only when you relinquish control and allow him to take his place will you find this rest. Listen to what he says in verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, folks, it's only in coming to the end of ourselves that we find what we're really looking for. It's only when we stop trying to be God and we stop trying to take matters in our own hands that we are able to then find the rest and the purpose in that rest that God has for us. And so there's three things that are required in order to receive this invitation. Let me give them to you quickly. And now, the purpose of these three things is to specifically tear away the pride that keeps us from rest. Okay, so these things, they hurt a little bit. Here's the first one. The first thing we've got to do, we've got to come to Him. Jesus says, don't come to a new way of thinking. Don't come to a new process. You've got to want Jesus, right? He says, come to me. A lot of us want the things that God can give us, but we don't want God. This week, I was seeking Jesus to tell me what to do as a pastor, right? I was wanting Him to give me some answers. I was wanting the inside scoop on what the next 6 months were going to look like, right? I wanted the plan so that I could get busy working on the plan. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have me. I want to give you me. And I want you to let me worry about the next 6 months. If we're going to have rest, we've got to come to Jesus and just want Jesus. And folks, that takes work. It takes us being willing to be okay if our plans don't go the way we want them to. We have to be okay with doing nothing for a little bit. And that's hard. That's why it's work. But when we come to Jesus and we abide in Him, we find rest. And here's part of that rest. We trust that He has it all figured out. That He knows what it's going to look like. And so the burden gets shifted from us to Him. And that's why He says this invitation to come and rest is come those who are burdened, who carry heavy weight. And so here's the second thing. Not only do we need to go to Him, but here's the second thing. We've got to admit we are tired of carrying the burden alone. We got to give it up, right? I'm a very self-reliant, self-sufficient, prideful person. I like to see how much I can carry in my life. But stuff gets heavy quickly. And so Jesus says this, come to me who labor and are heavy laden. That means carry heavy burdens. Before we can lay these things down at His feet, we've got to realize the weight of them. And God in His sovereignty has a way of showing us how heavy the things that we're carrying are. So let me kind of just be real honest with you for just a minute. We'll speak into some situations of life for us. Some of you listening to me today are carrying a marriage that is too heavy for you. You are carrying the weight of a spouse who's maybe not a believer, who is dealing with some stuff, and you pick them up every day and you walk with them and you try to make them who they need to be. And it's heavy. And your back is bent and it hurts. And there's no rest in your life. There's no rest in your marriage. And it's because you are carrying a weight that was never intended for you to carry. And so this morning, maybe you need to admit, the weight of my marriage is too much. Jesus, will you take it? Some of you listening this morning may be carrying the weight of an addiction in your life. And you're a professing believer, and so you know that to admit this addiction means that people will think that you're a hypocrite. And so every day you pick it up and you carry it and you act like you're okay, but it's beating you down. You weren't meant to carry that weight. Jesus said, come to me. I'll take that weight. Whatever the situation may be, all of us are trying to carry things that God never intended for us to carry. And let me just give you one that's very important. The actual context of this passage is referring to salvation. And Jesus is saying, the invitation to come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, he's talking about the weight of their soul. And he's saying, you can't carry the weight of your own righteousness. Some of you listening to me this morning may not be a believer at all. But you think about eternity, and it scares you. You think about what it might be like to die one day and not know that you're going to go to heaven. And that's a very heavy weight that you carry. This invitation is for you this morning. Listen to me. You are not responsible for the weight of your own righteousness. You cannot be righteous before God. But here's the good news. Jesus was already crushed on a cross to be your righteousness for you. You see, the reason Jesus can offer this invitation is because he paid the price to invite you to the rest. And so this morning, the work that you have to do is stop striving on your own. Stop taking it into your hands and your power to be something that you cannot be. Come let Jesus take this burden of your eternity. Pick up his salvation, his forgiveness, and have rest for your souls. This week, Jesus taught me that Pioneer Church is too heavy for me to carry. And I knew that, but I like to try to pick it up anyway. And he reminded me, you'll crash and you'll burn with it on your back. Lay it at my feet. I'll pick it up. You pick up what I want you to, carry what I tell you to, and I'll take care of the rest. So this morning, are you willing to admit that whatever it is you're carrying, if it's the weight of your soul or your marriage or a church plant or your health or whatever, are you willing to lay it at Jesus' feet and pick up the rest that he has for you? And then finally, here's the third part, and we'll be done. We've got to be teachable. This is one of the, I think, the hardest things that requires the most humility. Once we admit that it's too heavy, we've got to say, okay, now I'm in a position for you to teach me what you want me to carry. You see, the thing that Jesus wants us to learn is that he is working on our behalf so we can rest, right? But that's the thing we've got to learn, that the things in our heart are not just gone. He's doing them for us. He's working for us. And so here's the thing about Jesus' rest. It doesn't mean that there's inactivity. It's about being at peace, doing what he wants us to do. So here's what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, right? And so he's saying, look, we're going to be going somewhere. You're not just going to sit down and not do anything, but you're going to now go the way I want you to go. Your job in that is to stay yoked to me. I don't know if you've ever seen the old timey yokes where they would hook up a team of horses or mules or whatever. But one cannot go where the other one doesn't. You have to go the same place. And so our part in this finding rest is that we agree and are willing and humble enough to go where Jesus wants us to go. Will you let him teach you how to abide in him, how to rest in him, and let him lead you where you want to go? Can I tell you something? It may not be where you originally intended to go. I'll tell you this, man. In the 20 years that I've been a believer, very few things have gone the way that I thought they would go. Some of you this morning don't realize how much of a blessing that actually is, though. Many of you are married to someone right now that you never had any intention of being married to. Some of you right now may have been engaged to somebody else. Some of you had plans to be married to somebody completely different. And aren't you thankful today that that didn't happen? You see, God is good if we'll listen to him, we'll humble ourselves, will take his rest and his burden, he's going to put us where he wants us to be. Thank God that my life has not turned out the way that I had planned it to. And so here's where we're going to be as we close. I want to come back to the title of our message, The Hard Work of Resting. I want to ask you this morning, do you understand the work that it takes for us to find this rest? It's not in us doing more. It's not in us striving forward, but it is the work of surrender. It's the work of what the psalmist said, of being still, of putting ourselves in a place where we're humble, where we're limp, where we've given up control, so that he can come and do in us what only he can do. This morning, are you willing to do the work of laying down your expectations, your striving, your pride, in order to receive Jesus' invitation of rest? So here's what I want us to do. There's nothing magical about this. But here's what I want us to do. I want to pray for us. And as I pray, I know that there's some heavy burdens that some of you are taking into this day. So here's what I want us to do right there in your home or in your group. And nothing magical about it, but I think there is something important about symbolically doing something before the Lord. It helps our heart engage. So here's what I want us to do. There are things in our life that Jesus needs to take from us today. Maybe he needs to take our lostness and exchange it for his salvation. He needs to take our spouse and make them into only who can he can make them be. He needs to take our addiction. He needs to take this debt, this health issue, whatever it is. Here's what I want you to do. As we pray before God, I just want you to stick your hands out like this. And I want you to imagine that that thing is in your hands. And it's heavy. Before God, I want you to take it and go to him. And I want you to lay it at his feet and ask him to change this burden out for his rest. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And right now, God, we just want to come to you as honestly as we know how, in the brokenness of our pride and in our desire to be God. And we just want to confess that we're not you. Lord, the things that we take in our hands and try to manipulate and try to solve and try to fix, we end up making a big mess out of it. This morning, your word has invited us to come and find rest. And so this morning, Father, we want to just be obedient to that word, and we want to just come and lay this stuff at your feet. For some of us, Father, it may be the weight of our eternity. And I pray right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you would open up the eyes of those who are lost, that they would see that salvation comes only through the gospel of Jesus, who bled and died and was the only righteous sacrifice for our sins. And that the invitation is not to come to him and just be better, to change our life, our lifestyle, to change our actions, to become more moral people. The invitation is to come and lay ourselves down at your feet and then take up your righteousness. So, Father, would you do that right now in people today? Lord, for some of us, it's the weight of a marriage, the weight of health issues. God, it's all these things that we're carrying around, thinking we have the answers, and God, you are showing us over and over and over that, Lord, we need to understand that the plans we have may not be your plans. So would you give us the courage and the strength to just relinquish the striving, to trust your sovereignty, to lay this down so that we may take up your yoke. And Father, I pray that in the midst of the waiting in this, that we would seek Jesus. That tomorrow morning when we wake up and our plans are still uncertain, that we will not get fixated on those things, but we will seek Jesus. And our heart's desire will be to abide in him and then when he chooses to show us where to walk, we'll walk. And so, Lord, I just trust that you'll set us free today and that we'll walk in the rest that you've given us. And that as we do that in a world that is increasingly weighed down, they will see our difference. And Lord, they will desire to know what we have. And then we'll be able to give them the hope of abiding in Jesus and walking in his rest. So Father, I just pray that you do this work and that you would receive glory for it in Christ's name. Amen. On your handout, I've included a passage of scripture on the other side of the questions. And I'll just encourage you to take some time, if not today, this week at home with your family, and read that story from Luke chapter 10. It's a great illustration of living out this rest. And so I would just encourage you right now to just do that. Another thing I'd ask you to do is to just pray. So many of us are uncertain and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And as a church, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen. And Jesus is calling us in our rest to just seek him. And so we do that by prayer. So I just want to challenge you guys throughout this week to take some intentional time and just pray. Pray for God's direction. Pray for wisdom. We've given you guys an opportunity. I haven't mentioned this to you yet, but on our website, if you'll go to our website, we have a tab down there where you can click on that and you can share prayer requests. We want you to know that even if we can't be together physically, we can still pray for each other. And so I just welcome you and invite you to check that out and put those prayer requests down. It'll come straight to me, so it's confidential. It'll come to me in an email, and I will pray for you. And so would you just do that in this time of uncertainty? And let's walk in the rest of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for worshiping with us today.